Men, what don't we understand about the word all? When Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given me, he means all. I'm Brian Patrick. One of the shocking claims of Jesus, all authority, this time on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our show on All Authority as we continue the series on the shocking claims of Jesus. I'm Brian Patrick with our Crossing the Goal team from Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, from Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, president and founder, Curtis Martin, and the former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, and our coach on Crossing the Goal, Danny Abramowitz. Danny, guys aren't really all that good authority, if they even believe in authority.
Well, that's one of the problems. I think, guys, if you look around the world and in our country, we're not in awe of God anymore and his authority. If you take the Lord out of the equation, he's out of the equation. It won't work, whether it's individual, family, country. I don't care what it is. If he's out, it won't work.
Yeah.
Until we get him back in the equation, that's the only way we have a chance.
Yeah, and to take him out of the equation, it's impossible. I mean, we can take him out of our equation,
yes,
but he's the Lord and he rules. And that's
Absolutely.
The thing he's telling us. You know, we've been talking this whole series about Jesus' self-understanding. And here he's saying all authority. Now remember, Jesus was a historical person. He was a man. And he looked right at other men and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth is situated somewhere. It belongs to me. I'm in charge of everything. And that's his claim. I mean, that's amazing when you think about it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to break that open a little bit more in the game plan.
And we're going to look first at the world not accepting that. But what I want to focus on at the beginning is to sit back and say, it's the Christians that amaze me. I mean, it's really crazy to think that there are Christians all over the world who actually do believe that he has all authority. And yet when he says right after that, we don't obey. How do you accept the fact that he has all authority and not obey what he says next?
Right. Yeah.
All right, one of those shocking claims of Jesus, all authority. We have a game plan with Peter and Curtis coming up next here on Crossing the Goal.
Hello, I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck. We're examining shocking statements of Jesus, and this one is pretty amazing. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me.
Yeah.
So when we talk about all authority, let's play that out a little bit. What exactly does the scripture tell us about the authority that Jesus has?
Well, first of all, just the idea that there is authority behind all of creation, the entire cosmos. There's a God, there's a creator. Jesus Christ possesses all that authority. So St. Paul tells us in Philippians, the time's going to come, whether people want it or not, when every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is indeed the one with all the authority over the entire human race and over the whole cosmos. And what Jesus is doing right now is he's exercising that authority on our behalf. First of all, he destroyed the world, the flesh, and the devil. He broke the power of sin over our life, which nobody else could do, and he conquered death, right? So he opens the door of heaven for us. And now he's in heaven on our behalf, seated at the right hand of the Father, in glory, and he's interceding for our salvation. Number one, for the salvation of the whole world. And he's subduing all the enemies of God. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 15.
There's a certain sense in which the game is over, and we're in the world, and we're on the losing side. And this moment in the church has said, look, the game's over, and my team wins. Anybody who would like to come onto my team right now, you can come over right now. Just accept me as Lord. It's going to be a little crazy for a while, and then I'm going to exercise authority. Now we're getting
when
away.
He comes again, it says, so this is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 and following. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The Father's given Jesus all authority to bring into order everything that's in disorder in the chaos, and Jesus is going to do just that. And he's going to present back to the Father what belongs to God the Father, which is a race of people who are yielded to God, who love God, who want God, and the whole new creation is going to come from the hand of Jesus Christ.
Currently, in the age of the church, there's a profound subtlety to that. In other words, we can freely choose. But there's going to be a moment, Peter, when there won't be any choice left. Whether you like it or not, we're gonna bend the knee. Everybody. Those who rejected Christ will then sit back and say, I was absolutely wrong. And for the rest of eternity, I have to own that.
Yeah.
And so there's this powerful realization that at the second coming, Jesus is going to come with power and not with a sense of meekness that he has right now.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah, here's Revelation chapter 1. Listen to this. This is the witness of John, the beloved apostle. He's talking about that very thing. He says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father, to him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he's coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him, and everyone who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. This is what John is saying. That just when he comes and appears, and his authority is revealed, everybody's going, whoa! And those who oppose, every knee is going to bend, and those who oppose him are going to beat their chests and say, why? Why did I ignore him? Why did I impose him? And they're going to see the reality of the evil of refusing to acknowledge God and know God and love God and serve him. But it's game over at that point.
No, and the subtlety of belief. We God woos us. He allows us to come to him, and does he speak quietly to our heart? And if we respond in faith, we can enter into a relationship right now. That's the reality of the age of the church. But as you're saying, the book of Revelation is teaching us, there will be a time when faith will be no more because vision will be here.
Yeah.
In other words, not going to be any different. No, you know, well, I believe and you don't. No, there's Jesus. He is clearly the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the universe, and he's calling everything captive to himself. And in the middle of all of that, the age of the church, leading to the second coming, he says, all of this authority, I want to channel it to you. And this is what he says in the passage that's the center of what we're talking about today. It comes from Matthew. It's actually the last words Jesus ever says on earth after his death, after his resurrection, after the 40 days that he's teaching the apostles on the very last day, on the second of the glorious mysteries, Ascension Thursday. He's on the Mount of Ascension. The last words he says are this: all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I will be with you until the end of the age. The issue is God's authority right now in the age of the church is directed to us to a command, the most authoritative command ever given in the history of the world. Yeah. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Nobody else could ever say that and be honest.
Yeah.
And then he says, with that authority, I'm going to tell you to do one thing.
Yeah.
Go make disciples. Yeah. And yet the vast majority of Christians, the vast majority of men, are in open rebellion, probably because they don't know it, but they're openly ignoring or rejecting the most authoritative command in the history of the world.
So people ask, what does God want me to do? What's God's will for my life? Well, it's pretty plain. Bottom line is he wants you to be involved with his great mission of saving souls and going to make disciples of all nations.
And that's how we harness ourselves to his authority and live in the fullness of life. Amen. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. Good game plan. Coach, as an NFL coach, you've had authority.
Yeah, you know, coaches do have authority, and a lot of players listen, some don't.
Well, why don't you tell these guys to go to the red zone?
Well, them knuckleheads, they're not going to listen to authority. Well, are you kidding?
Why don't you and I just lead the way to the red zone next?
I think we better.
Crossing the goal. We've reached the red zone. We're talking about the authority of Jesus, all authority, on our series on the shocking claims of Jesus. And Curtis, you know, we can look at authority and defy it, or we can embrace it.
And really for us as Christians, it's a relational issue. If we accept Jesus as a person, then we go from ignoring his claims to embracing his claims, and we enter into mission with him. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. He is calling us on a personal level, as Peter said, you can imagine him looking into each man's eyes and saying, yeah. I'm calling you all authority. Brian, come with me. Peter, come with me and make disciples.
Yeah.
So that's the issue we have to do. We have to embrace that mission and recognize. I know it's made all the difference for me to move from a matter of my faith being something that's a series of beliefs only, okay, this affects the way I think, to I'm now called on mission. So it's what I believe, but also how I behave.
Yeah. And it's not only what we believe, Peter, it's what we do with that belief. Right?
Yeah, it is. And I keep coming back to kind of the whole point of our series here is how Jesus understands himself. Remember, he was a flesh and blood human being. He lived on the earth like you, like me, you know, like, and he made this claim and it's actually true. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us come to see and understand who Jesus really is. And if we really believe it, then it reorders our whole life. Then we start looking at authority across the board more important. The authority of the church, the Definitely. Authority of the church teaching, the authority of scripture, everything gets reordered in our life. But right now, because we don't really pay much attention, you know, Jesus is, you know, somehow, like we said to be in the show, he's a little bit like Captain Kangaroo or Mr. Rogers, or, you know, he's a spiritual guru, or he's like a Barney in heaven, just wants everybody to be happy. No, he's the Lord of the universe, and he expects us to acknowledge and live under his authority. That gives us the right kind of fear and respect, the healthy kind of stuff, and then the things of God we respect a lot more. His commandments, his church, Pope, the role he's given, all that stuff starts to change. That's how I've felt in my own life.
Anyway, reading the scriptures that way, Peter, it changes everything. To read them, and as you read them, to be imagining Jesus as a man, remembering him as a man. Because I think for me, a lot of people, myself included, were tempted to think of him like the Wizard of Oz. Oh, well, here's this guy behind a curtain, he's saying stuff. Yeah. No, this was a guy who sat down and shared everything that's written about him in the Gospels. He sat down and shared by looking people in the eye and telling people, say, blessed are you when you're poor, or whatever it was. Yeah. And we should receive his teachings and his challenges that way. He's standing in front of us saying, Peter, Curtis, Danny, I want you to deal with what I'm just about to say to wrestle with that, because there are shocking statements.
Yeah. Coach, you meet a lot of guys, but you've really got to have something to offer to make disciples.
I think so. And if you look at this situation of the Catholic Church, and that's what we're dealing with, how we apply it in our life on a daily basis, you got Catholics that believe in the authority of Christ, and they're living a pretty happy life. You know, they stumble around a little bit. Then there's Catholics that are proclaimed to be Catholic, but they go their own way. The authority, they don't listen to the authority of God, as like you guys said, he is all authority. Mm-hmm. And then we have others that are just flat do not want to do it. They're going to do their own way, and we have to change that. If we are walking the walk, we have to proclaim it. If we don't proclaim it, it's pretty scary in scriptures what it says. You get further on down here about this in Matthew 10:32. It says, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also, this is Jesus speaking, will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my heavenly Father in heaven.
That would not be a good judgment day.
No. So, I mean, he's bringing this out here. You have to acknowledge me. In your life, you not only acknowledge me by your lips, talk a good game, action. What is your action? And how are you treating other people?
I think one of the challenges that our culture is so against respecting authority in this way, especially spiritual, godly authority, it's a sign of maturity in the world's eyes. You're grown up. You're a grown up if you just call all the shots yourself. And the more independent you are, the more you call the shots, the more mature you are. And obedience to authority is looked down upon. You know, it looks adolescent or childish or something like that. And you're supposed to get yourself free from that if you're actually going to get somewhere in life, you know? And that makes it hard.
And the beautiful thing there is two levels. There's the personal loyalty issue of I'm going to be loyal. And we have to look at that and sit back and say, you know, I need to be loyal to Christ. It's the verse you just read. In my mind, I think of a guy, he's out on a date with a girl, and all of a sudden his buddies come up and say, hey, who's she? And he gets embarrassed. He's like, I don't know. I mean, he just totally disrespects her. But he doesn't want to be seen with her. How disrespectful that would be. And we do that to the Lord all the time.
Yeah.
And see, it's just a personal loyalty issue. You should be proud to be standing with me. But the second part about that authority is what flows from the Great Commission, which is, I'll be with you. In other words, and when you do bear witness, amazing things are going to happen. You're going to watch lives change. You're going to become who you were meant to be. Everything in your life will change. So it's that loyalty and come on with me because I'm going to take you on a ride that'll be the greatest adventure of your life.
Yeah. And it's not always the word that I proclaim Jesus Christ. Because if I look back in my life, I knew better. I was raised a Catholic. But I knew that I was doing the wrong thing. I turned my back on him. No, I didn't say I don't believe in God or I don't. I just says, I'm going to do this. Here's his way. Here's my way out here in the world. I like this better.
Yeah. I was the picture of defiance. You could define defiance by looking at me. Anybody that had authority, I thought I knew better and tried to do it my way. But, you know, after a while, you just get beaten down like a rented donkey, as you say.
Yeah, man.
And you realize that my way isn't working and I need to acknowledge first the authority of our Lord. But as you said, Peter, once we do that, then we see the authority in the church, the civil
it
authorities.
Makes sense,
and, you know, we have a saying in recovery, God is either everything or God is nothing. And I don't think anybody wants to say
you
God
know, we'll
is nothing.
Go respect in coaching. You said in coaching you did. We'll, in athletics, we'll respect the authority of the coach or a business leader of a big business or something, or someone with money or something like that, and just totally ignore the authority of Christ.
Yeah, you think about it. That's amazing. Tell me, you know, how many NFL players, like somebody on Coach Belichick's team, you think they're going to cross Coach Belichick?
No
they may
way.
Not like him. They may,
no
not, but you know what? They're not going to cross him because why? Because they want to play and they want to make money.
And
he's
win.
Got the power. Right, they want to win. He's got the power. Why does everybody want to be around the president when he comes to town? Why does everybody want to be around high rollers when they come to town? Because they got power. Because they got influence. Well, guess what? Jesus said, all power and authority are given to me. Here we're running after all these people. Their authority's going to pass. It's limited.
It does.
It isn't that much.
And
Jesus said, look, it's all straw. It's grass. And then we just ignore real authority. It's just crazy.
Eternal authority. And, and all of us, all the Belichicks, all the Dannys, all the Bryans, everyone will be on their knees for the last judgment with all authority.
Yeah.
We're following out here. We got to wake up and realize that's why we're not just playing some kind of a game here. Do you want to acknowledge him now, or do you want to face whatever the consequences at the end?
When the sky peels back and he comes in his second coming, it's not like you get a mulligan right then.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let me rethink it.
Yeah.
It's game over. Whatever you decided, that's why the book of Revelation says they will be wailing. I mean, you can imagine the most powerful rulers on earth screaming in horror, I made the wrong decision.
Right.
And Christ is appealing to us through the church right now, saying, make the right decision. Embrace Christ now as he offers you mercy. And this is such an amazing opportunity that we have.
And another thing is that we that proclaim to know Jesus and follow Jesus, if we fall back, it's even worse. You know, in scriptures,
scripture says
you
that
see that many
clearly.
Times. So we've got to be careful that we don't live too high on our and take that authority for granted.
And I think we need to point out to anybody who's thinking about this that this is an issue for all of us. This has been convicting to me because I believe that Jesus has all authority. But do I live my life that way every day?
Right.
Oh, I wish I would.
Yeah.
I think I'd live my life different.
Yeah.
So this is something we're all working on together.
Yeah.
It's a huge part of the new springtime. That those who do believe would get serious about their belief first, because our lack of integrity and belief is such a scandal to the world. Sit back and say, well, if this is true, then why don't the people who believe this act differently?
Yeah.
And so they're waiting for us to come alive. And I think this is the invitation for us as believers to repent. Re-encounter Christ.
All right, team, we'll push into the red zone next, the last word on all authority, and we'll also dig into our email bag right here on Crossing the Goal. We've crossed the goal. We're now in the end zone here on Crossing the Goal, and we're talking about all authority that belongs to Jesus. Before we get the last word from our team members, we want to encourage you to send us an email. Go to crossingthegoal.com. Let us know what you think about this topic or any other topics that we talk about, or maybe you want to just ask a question like the one that Ann sends us. She says that her nephew and godson from Buffalo, New York,
She wants to introduce him to our program. She says he goes to church with his wife every Sunday, but he won't register or get involved with the parish. Any ideas to gently introduce him to your program, Coach?
Well, one thing, Ann, I think maybe your nephew might be bucking authority a little bit. That's what we've been talking about on this show. But gently ask him for a favor for you, if he would watch the show three times. Once he watches it three times, tell him, if he don't like it, we'll give you a misery back.
I think the other thing is to recognize that, I think for younger people, sometimes the registration for the parish, while that's very important, isn't necessarily the best first step. I would encourage you to find some other godly men in the parish who are very actively engaged to engage him, maybe in something very practical, whether it's a cup of coffee after Mass or a service project or whatever. As he gets to know other men who are actually active in the parish, they'll win him by relationship and get him registered. But I'm not sure for young people that's a good first step, because it just seems like a formality.
Christ renews his parish. If it comes to your parish, suggest that he spend a weekend. I just did it recently with the guys at my parish. I'm there 3 years now, and it's just a beautiful way to get connected with the guys. And, you know, registering for your parish is a good thing. You never know when you need the support of your parish. So hopefully along the line, he gets that. Bucking authority, all authority belongs to Jesus. The last word, first
thank
from Peter.
Thank you, Brian. Brothers and sisters, you know, if you've been listening to this program, you're thinking, wow, I don't really see Jesus' authority clearly, and I need to in my life. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus and the Father to help you and I to be able to come to know the Lordship and Majesty of Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you see Jesus as he is, and he'll help you, and he'll increase that knowledge of faith about the truth of Jesus' power and authority in your life.
And Jesus, in the context, is actually inviting us to embrace his authority by making disciples. And so I would encourage you to be paying attention. The church is speaking more and more these days about the new evangelization. Just have your ears open as the church speaks about that, to listen more and more. Because what we're finding is that people are beginning to encounter Jesus Christ in their personal lives, and then they're out sharing the good news of what it means to have God in their lives. As you do that, you'll experience his authority in your life. The Holy Spirit will give you the fruit of joy, and you really will begin to have a more meaningful and joyful life.
What I like to do, men, is let's do some common sense things. Think about this. We're wondering about Christ and God's authority. Just tomorrow, get up, start tomorrow, and look at around at creation. Look at the beauty, the sky, the stars, whatever. And then look at life. Look at a baby, or how you, just you, how you're made, how you breathe, everything about you. And then look at a cross. You'll see authority.
That's powerful. Coach, thank you. Curtis, Peter. Well, during this series, we've looked at the shocking claims of Jesus, and it can be a little bit overwhelming, but next time, Jesus tells us, cheer up, I've overcome the world. We hope you'll join us for the conclusion of this series next time here on Crossing the Goal.